digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Son of a bitch. You're behind my son's death.
Madam President, I have your husband. You will have your forces withdrawn from around my country, Sangala, immediately and permanently. Or your husband will die a slow and certain death.
I just wanted to make sure that you are still coming to dinner tonight.
Marika, I can't. I'll make it up to you. If you're looking for Marika, she's not with me.
I'm looking for you, Samuel, or whatever your real name is. Now, I don't know who you really are, and I don't care. I just want you out of my sister's life.
Jack and Vossler fight. Jack twists Vossler's arm so that the man's dagger goes into his own abdomen.
Keep an incident quiet until what Jack and I are doing goes down.
What incident?
Vossler's dead. Jack killed him at the hotel on 18th and Reagan. It was self-defense.
Damn it, Renee. What the hell are you doing with this guy? We're supposed to bring suspects in, not murder them.
Until we know who Dubaku's source is there, you've got to handle this outside of the Bureau.
Dubaku is the only person with the names of the people who betrayed you within your government. It's imperative that we find him.
You resigned from government service, and the Senate regards you as having been a renegade agent. How am I supposed to know where your loyalties really lie?
With all due respect, Madam President, ask around.
I got an address for Henry Taylor.
Jack and Renee storm the cellar. Henry Taylor is shot.
Get an ambulance!
The following takes place between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m.
A police car and an ambulance converge on the Korean grocers. Renee appears in the doorway at a run.
No one else gets through here. Follow me. It's Henry Taylor, the president's husband, but that information is not to be disseminated. Clear?
Renee leads the paramedics down into the scene of carnage. Jack loosens Henry's collar. He is losing a lot of blood.
Hey, Mr. Taylor, don't speak. I need you to save your energy. Over here!
Step back, please. Unit 6. Got a gunshot trauma to the chest.
9mm round.
9mm, substernal. Pulse is rapid.
You okay? Yeah. I'm gonna call the president. I want you to search all the rooms. See if you can get anything off their hardware that's gonna tell us where Dubaku went.
President Taylor's office.
Ms. Dackbauer, I need to speak with the president.
One moment, please.
President, I would encourage you not to lose hope.
No, Dubaku knows that we tried to deceive him, Ethan. He has no reason to keep Henry alive.
Madam President, Jack Bauer's on line one.
Put him through. Mr. Bauer, this is President Taylor.
Madam President, we have your husband. He's alive, but he sustained a gunshot wound to the chest.
How bad is it?
EMTs are stabilizing him. They're getting ready to transfer him to West Arlington Hospital.
Mr. Bauer, be more specific. Is my husband going to be okay?
We're not going to know anything until the doctors see him. Ma'am, I have to warn you, he has lost a lot of blood.
Jack, it's Bill. Do you have Dubaku?
Negative. He was gone before we got here. Madam President, since your husband was the only leverage that Dubaku had left, it's safe to say that he's trying to leave the country now.
Have you any idea how he intends to do that?
Not at this time. Unfortunately, all his men were killed during the assault. Agent Walker and I will stay behind. We'll continue to search the area. We have to assume that Dubaku has an exit strategy already in place. Whatever we're going to do to find him, we're going to have to do it fast.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Please keep me apprised on everything.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I am so sorry, Madam President.
Ethan, I'm going to the hospital to be with my husband.
Ma'am, that's not possible. You're executing a military invasion.
My generals can execute it perfectly well without me.
We can't ignore the fact the Secret Service has been compromised. There's no way we can ensure your safety outside the White House.
I don't give a damn. I am not going to be held prisoner in this office while my husband is fighting for his life. Now, either find someone to take me to the hospital or I'll drive there myself.
Madam President, you know my record of service. If it's acceptable to you, I'm willing to assume responsibility for your security.
Bill, you're no longer credentialed. You don't have the authority.
Until we capture Dubaku and interrogate him, we have no idea who in the government is working for him. You do not know who you can trust.
But I can trust you.
I brought this conspiracy to your attention, Madam President. I would hope that I've earned it.
What do you need from me?
Reinstate my government clearance. Allow me the authority to vet White House staff, and allow me to bring one of my own people into FBI to provide Larry Moss with tactical support.
Who is it that you want to bring in?
Chloe O'Brien. I can vouch for her. She's the best there is.
Her clearances were also revoked when CTU was decommissioned. Isn't there anyone capable of handling these duties without our having to reinstate her?
Someone in the Bureau is on DeBacco's payroll. Until we find out who it is, Larry Moss can't take the chance of bringing his own people into a manhunt for DeBacco.
All right. The director of White House Secret Service Operations is Agent Hovis. I'll order him to turn over security protocols to you.
I know Ted Hovis, Madam President. He's not going to like this. He's going to fight us.
Now, considering that agents under his charge are responsible for what happened to my husband, I don't give a damn what he likes. You have your provisional appointment, Mr. Buchanan, under the authority of this office.
Thank you, Madam President.
You can thank me by getting me to the hospital.
I'll make the arrangements.
Madam President...
Your concerns are clear to me, Ethan, but I've made my decision.
I'm only trying to do my job. Looking out for your interests.
My interest right now is catching E.K. DeBacco. He has killed scores of Americans today. He tried to kill my husband, and he has corrupted our government. Whatever it takes, I want that son of a bitch fed.
End of part one. 406.
Marika. Marika.
Samuel, what are you doing here?
We need to talk.
Okay, well, I get a break in 20 minutes.
No, now. Come.
What is it? You're scaring me.
Something has come up. I need to leave the country.
What? When?
Right away.
I don't understand. When are you coming back?
Marika, listen to me. I haven't been entirely honest with you. My passport visa expired a couple of months ago, and I've been in the country illegally. I'm afraid the immigration people have caught up with me.
It was my sister, wasn't it? She reported you, didn't she?
That doesn't matter now. What is important is I have to leave the country tonight, and I want you to come with me.
Tonight?
Rika, we've talked about this. I promise you that one day I will take you away from here, give you the happiness that you deserve.
Samuel, I want that too, but not tonight, not so soon.
Marika, I don't have time to argue with you. I'm sorry.
I can't leave Rosa. I mean, she needs me. I'm the only one she has to take care of her. You know that.
I know. Which is why she's going to join us.
Join us?
As soon as possible. I could only arrange tickets for both of us tonight, but I want you to promise not to tell your sister of our plans, at least not yet.
I have to. I can't just run off.
No. She might cause trouble for us and make it impossible for us to leave. I miss you. Your sister will join us within a couple of days of our arrival.
Our arrival here?
Belize, I've shown you the photographs of my home there. Do you love me?
You know I do.
Then trust me. Say you'll come.
I'll get my things.
Now I still need to finalize our arrangements. I want you to go home and pack. Wait for my call.
All right.
Marika trots happily back into the restaurant kitchen. 408. DeBacco turns away darkly and pulls out his phone.
Yes?
It's me. Have you made the preparations?
Almost. It's been tricky clearing a flight corridor since FAA still has most private and commercial aircraft grounded.
I have faith you'll manage. The arrangements are for two passengers.
Just as you request. Are you sure you want to leave now, Colonel? Can't imagine General Juma will be pleased to learn that you're abandoning your mission.
Mission is over. I've done what I can do. That is not enough for Juma. Then to hell with him.
I've got your passports and itinerary in hand. We meet at our usual spot in half an hour. I'll bring them.
No. We meet in the lobby of the Roosevelt Continental Hotel.
That's not a good idea. It'll be crowded there at this hour.
I know. I want to make it earlier. I'll see you in 50 minutes.
DeBacco gets into a waiting car.
Go.
Renee and Jack are still in the cellar.
Can't get it to boot. Hard drive must be fried.
Let's search the bodies. Start with him.
Abandoning the computer screen, they bend down to search the bodies of their dead adversaries. Renee pulls out her phone.
Yeah.
Renee, it's me.
You'll be kind of just brief me on your situation. What's Henry Taylor's status?
We've got him in an ambulance en route to West Wellington Hospital. I don't know his current condition.
You kind of told me you and Bauer were in a firefight.
Yeah, we took down six of DeBacca's men, but DeBacca was gone before we got there.
You all right?
Been in worse.
You sure?
I'm fine, Larry.
Really? I'm not so sure about that.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm looking at a report faxed to me from Metro Police. Mrs. Carol Vossler is claiming an unidentified woman held her and her child hostage at gunpoint. She says the woman threatened to kill her son.
Larry, we discussed this. We needed to get Vossler to tell us where Taylor was being held. It was the only leverage we had.
Yeah, right, whatever's necessary. Jack Bauer's rationalization for every unethical action he takes.
Well, it worked, Larry. Doesn't that count for something?
Renee, Jack Bauer is about to be strung up by a Senate subcommittee, and you are following his playbook. You already got the AG's office looking into that thing you pulled with Tanner's respirator, and now this.
No one was actually hurt.
No one? Renee, Bauer killed the woman's husband! Renee, I swear to you here, I am scared of what is happening to you. You put these people through hell, and it doesn't bother you.
I didn't say that it doesn't bother me, Larry. I said that it worked. Of course it bothers me. I can see that woman's face. She and her child staring at me with such... She had no idea that her husband was a killer, a traitor to his country, and she looked at me like I was the monster.
Agent Walker.
Hold on.
I cross-referenced the information on these PDAs. I came across some banking transactions, all from a series of accounts registered to the same address.
You think it's a safe house?
It's worth a shot.
Larry, we may have an address on DeBacca.
21917 Euclid Street, apartment 6.
21917 Euclid Street, unit 6. We're moving out now. Can you provide SAT surveillance?
Yeah, they'll be kind of sending somebody over to run tech, but until she's up and running, you're gonna have to go in blind.
Okay, we'll be in touch.
You sure you're okay?
Fine.
Let's go.
412. 416, Jack drives. Renee is looking more than a little flaky. President Taylor is driven to the hospital. Rosa sits asleep in her wheelchair in front of the TV. Marika enters. She looks down at her sleeping sister. Then she tiptoes past her into a bedroom and lifts an empty suitcase onto the bed. A small silver car moves through traffic. Morris drives. Chloe is in the passenger seat. A young boy sits in the rear.
Federal investigations continue into the terrorist acts that have gripped the nation's capital, as well as the people of Kidron, Ohio. Despite assurances by President Taylor in her national address that the threat has passed, sources at the White House will not confirm that all those responsible have been accounted for.
Now, you sure you're not going to need my help?
I'm just running FBI ops temporarily until they catch DeBacca. Once they find him, hopefully he'll tell us the names of all the people on his payroll that are inside our government.
And then we can go home.
Then we can go home.
Well, just be careful, right? Because if Buchanan's right and DeBacca has someone working inside the bureau...
I'll watch my back. You just watch Prescott.
Morris opens the car boot and Chloe gets out a large shoulder bag. She comes round to speak to the boy in the back.
Well, sweetheart, Mommy has to go to work. You'll be good, okay?
Hi, Mommy.
You'll be good, too.
I will. And if you get all jammed up, you know where to find me.
Chloe waves to Morris as she is admitted into FBI HQ.
Did a cross-reference our deployment to Homeland. Make sure the requisition numbers match up. After that, you can catch up on the hourlies.
Are you joking? That is busy work. Administrative crap you're handing
Janice,
me.
Janice, I don't have the time nor the inclination right now to explain my assignments to you. Just get it done.
Agent Moss, Claire O'Brien just cleared security. She's on her way up.
All right, thank you. Janice, set up a secure VPN socket. Port it to the conference room.
Why do you need a VPN socket?
I'm bringing in a consultant from Homeland to confirm there are no lingering gaps in the CIP firewall. That's fine. Take that downstairs. Ms. O'Brien, Larry Moss, welcome to the FBI.
Hi, you can call me Chloe.
We're ready here.
4:18. Larry ushers Chloe into a glass-walled side office under the suspicious gaze of Janice.
Buchanan said you'd be up to speed?
I'm up.
Good. Agent Walker and Bauer are pursuing a potential lead on DeBacca. They're en route to this address in the Mount Pleasant district. Agent Walker's requesting satellite support.
Chloe eyes the glass walls.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Feeling a little exposed here. If someone out there is working for Dubaku, shouldn't we be doing this more covertly?
As far as anyone knows, you're working on shoring up our firewall. Besides, this is the only space available where you'll have full access to our server. Our network doesn't support remote modules.
That's inefficient. Whoever set your network up that way didn't know what they were doing.
I set our network up that way.
Oh. Okay.
Larry, his nose slightly out of joint, makes to leave, but looks back at Chloe, who with her shoulder bag and duffel coat appears less than lethally efficient.
Something else?
You worked with Bauer for a long time, didn't you?
7 years, on and off.
That's impressive. That you survived the experience.
What are you talking about?
Only that a lot of people didn't. Curtis Manning, Ryan Chappelle, his own wife.
Are you saying it's Jack's fault his wife was killed?
You tell me.
Jack Bauer is the most trustworthy, honorable man I know, and he's my friend. Maybe you should worry less about him and more about the mole in your office working for Dubaku.
Chloe looks defiantly up at Moss. He holds her gaze and then turns to go. Janice works at her screen. Moss comes back out from the side room. Erica crosses the floor.
Is that Chloe O'Brien?
What?
In the conference room, Chloe O'Brien.
She was senior analyst at CTU.
It's like a seminar she gave. What's she doing here?
Larry said Homeland sent her over to check for residual breaches from the firewall attack.
Huh.
What?
It just doesn't sound like her area of expertise. Besides, as far as I know, she's been inactive since CTU was decommissioned.
Janice's face registers deep perplexity. She casts a glance across at Chloe. 4:21. Dubaku enters a lavish hotel lobby and crosses to sit at a table where the man he spoke to on the phone about tickets is already seated.
Passports and travel itinerary. Hawker Siddeley 748 is fueling at Taft Airfield. Be ready to fly within a half hour, get you to the Cayman Islands. Shouldn't have any trouble getting to Belize from there.
I need a car to the airfield and a driver.
I assumed you had your own transportation.
It's not for me.
I see. It's for the girl. Well, I'm not sure I can find someone I trust on such short notice.
Really?
Dubaku scans the room.
What about your man at the bar?
Excuse me?
One of the two on the balcony watching us now. Or the two in the black town car waiting for me to leave. You think I'm a fool, Mr. Burnett? I know you people see me as a liability now.
These men are here to guarantee your safety, Colonel, not to threaten it.
Guarantee my safety. How nice. And said with such sincerity.
Dubaku leans towards the tensely smiling Burnett.
I want you to take this message back with you. If anything should happen to me on my way out of the country, an accident or an assassination attempt, anything, the plane that you were so generous to donate decides to explode, the data file with all the names and bank transactions of all those involved will be sent to the Justice Department.
That is completely unnecessary.
The same holds true if anything should happen to Marika Donoso. I swear to you, she knows nothing of this. She's no threat to you. Make sure your driver knows this before he brings her to me. Do you understand what I am saying? I want you to tell me that you understand what I am saying to you so there will be no mistakes.
I understand.
Good. The one thing I have learned in the company of mercenaries, Mr. Burnett, is that ultimately they care about nothing but their own survival. Good day.
Dubaku walks away without a backward glance. Burnett turns and holds up five fingers to the men standing on the balcony. He stands and pulls out his mobile phone.
I was right. Dubaku suspected we were going to take him out, and apparently he's assembled evidence to use as an insurance policy. We need to make sure he gets out of the country and safely into exile, otherwise we're all compromised. I'll make the calls.
4:23. Marika is hurriedly dressing and packing.
What are you doing? Rosa. Where are you going?
Rosa, listen to me. We're going away from here. All of us.
Well, what do you mean, all?
Samuel told me the truth. He's an illegal, just like you thought. He has to leave the country, and I've agreed to go with him.
You're leaving me?
No, only for a short time. You're gonna come, too. Samuel's made plans. We're gonna live with him in his home in Belize.
Marika,
He's lying to you.
He's not.
I won't let you do this.
Oh my God, Rosa! I have taken care of you my entire life. I've sacrificed everything for you. Why can't you let me have this?
I don't trust him.
Oh, well, you've never liked any man who's ever shown any interest in me. Every chance I've ever had at happiness, you found some way of ruining it, but not this time.
Marika, I'm begging you, listen to me.
No.
Marika, please, stop.
Move!
Marika, please, listen to me. I'm begging you, Marika.
FBI, don't move!
Get on your knees now! On your knees! Both of you put your hands behind your head and interlock your fingers. Now! Do not move! We're clear.
Where is Dubaku?
Who?
Don't play games with me, Ike Dubaku. We traced bank accounts to this address. Now, where is he?
We don't know who you're talking about.
Let me try and make this easier for you. You know this man?
No.
You're lying to me. Why are you lying to me?
Let me see. That's him. We know him. He calls himself a boa, Samuel Aboa.
Shut up!
She was going to meet him to leave me.
Where were you going to meet him? Where were you going?
I don't know.
How do you know him? You work for him?
No.
Do you work for him?
No.
You know what he's doing here in this country? Do you have any idea what this man is?
He's everything to me.
Renee and Jack seem to be struggling to take in the enormity of Marika's delusion. 4:26, end of part two. Part three, 4:30. A nurse walks along a hospital corridor. She appears bemused on seeing numerous heavily armed combat troops arriving. President Taylor walks towards her.
Nurse Mitchell, I'd like to see my husband.
Ma'am, I don't know if that's possible.
I was told that Dr. Shulman will be doing the surgery. Where is he?
Excuse me, Madam President. I'm Lee Shulman, your husband's surgeon. If you come with me, you can see him now, but you need to keep it brief.
Thank you.
You should know that Mr. Taylor's looking at a minimum of 5 hours in surgery. The bullet lacerated his pulmonary artery and lodged in his thoracic region. He's also suffered massive internal bleeding.
Can you offer any kind of prognosis? I'm a blunt woman, Dr. Shulman. I appreciate bluntness.
His chances aren't good, ma'am. But I'll do everything I can. If you'll excuse me, I need to scrub up now.
President Taylor appears not to have wanted that kind of bluntness. Henry appears being wheeled on a gurney.
Henry, darling, can you hear me?
Ellie.
Yes, sweetheart.
I'm here. I'm so sorry I didn't listen to you about Roger. You were right. It wasn't suicide. I know that now. You were always right. He was a hero.
Yes, he was. And so are you.
I'm sorry, Madam President. But the anesthesiologist is ready now.
She kisses him gently and stands looking on as he is wheeled away. 4:32. The president follows the gurney slowly. Bill Buchanan stands in the background. Finding the door to the theater shut in her face, President Taylor moves to the window and stares through, looking more like a worried child than the most powerful woman in the world.
Mr. Buchanan.
Yes, Madam President.
There's something I need you to do for me. Have someone find my daughter, Olivia, and bring her to me.
Have you had a chance to tell her?
My daughter and I haven't spoken for some time, Mr. Buchanan. She'd never get on the phone with me. She works for a consulting firm, Martland Norris. Do you have someone trustworthy you can send?
Yes, ma'am. I believe I do.
She resumes her vigil at the window. At Marika's flat.
And here he is again, in the uniform of the Presidential Guard, at the gates of the notorious Mukatu prison. And here, inside the soccer stadium after the Barakar massacre, the event that earned him the nickname the Butcher of Sangala.
Please, no more.
Rosa looks on, vindicated but not gloating.
What did you say his real name was again?
Tobacco. E.K. Tobacco. I've seen firsthand what he's capable of. I was in Africa a few months ago. He was responsible for murdering a friend of mine. I know this is a shock, and I'm sorry. I really am, but here's the situation. We need your help, and we need it now.
What kind of help?
We need to put this man in custody before he can leave the country.
She already told you she doesn't know where he is.
You said earlier that you were going to meet him. Where?
He didn't say. Just told me to go home and pack and wait for his call.
Give me your phone.
Why?
When he calls, I want you to answer it.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can. Listen to me. Just listen to me. It's over. The man you thought you knew, the man you had feelings for, he doesn't exist. All you've been left with are his lies and his betrayal. Is that him? Rekha, please. All I want you to do is answer the phone and talk to him so that we can find out where he wants to meet you. Please, you can do this. Please just try.
Jack holds out the ringing phone. Rosa looks on. Marika finally takes the phone in her trembling hand.
Hello.
Marika.
Yes.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
What took you so long to answer the phone?
I was in the bedroom packing. Where are you?
What's wrong? You sound strange.
It was Rosa. She caught me packing and we argued.
Is she going to be a problem for
us? No. I'm sorry, Samuel. I had to tell her everything. It was the only way, but she understands now.
Are you certain?
Yeah, she's fine. Now that she knows she and I will be together again in a few days.
You should thank heaven she has such an angel for a sister. Are you ready to go?
Almost.
Hurry up then. I've had a car sent for you. It should be there very shortly. Go downstairs and wait for it.
Where is it taking me?
Don't worry, the driver will know. I just want the woman I love to get downstairs as quickly as possible.
Okay.
It's all right. You did great.
Did we get the rendezvous point?
No, he's sending a car with a driver. Come here.
Renee follows Jack to the window. They look out into the rundown front yard where kids play scrappily with a soccer ball.
There's no one on the street yet.
Grab the driver. Get him to tell us DeBacco's location.
There's no guarantee we can get him to talk, and if we take too long, DeBacco's not going to wait around.
So then what do we do?
We can get her to go meet with him.
What?
We could track her. We could use her cell phone as a transponder.
You want to send that girl to DeBacco?
We don't have another choice.
Jack.
You want to get DeBacco? This is our shot.
4:37. Jack walks purposefully back across the room to Marika. He places a gentle hand on her wrist.
I have a favor to ask of you. We can't make you do this. But when the car arrives, we would like you to go with the driver so that we could follow you back to DeBacco.
Oh, what are you talking about? You want her to go to him and face him?
It's the only chance we have of finding him before he disappears forever.
I'll do it. No!
Now I'm your older sister and I won't allow it!
It's not your decision to make, Rosa. It's mine. And it's the right thing to do.
Let me see your phone.
What are you doing?
Getting your SID number. That's how we're gonna track you. You're not gonna be out there alone. Agent Walker and I will be following you. We'll never be more than a mile behind. As soon as you reach the destination, that's when we'll move in.
Marika, a mile. Are you crazy?
Enough.
You heard what he said. He's a murderer. He can hurt you.
He won't. Rosa, I should have listened to you.
Sweetheart.
You warned me about him.
The only reason why I said those things was because I was jealous. I didn't want to lose you.
The sisters embrace.
There he is, Jack. Renee said you had someone running operation support.
Yeah, she's right here. I'll put you on speaker. Jack, it's Chloe.
Chloe.
What do you need?
How long is it going to take you to set up a sat beacon for a mobile line?
Usually a few seconds, but with the backward way they have the system set up, it's going to take at least a few minutes.
Okay, well, let me give you the SID number. 1C48689. You got it?
Got it.
Jack, who are you tracking?
The woman who's involved with Tobacco. He's sending a car to take her to him.
She's one of his operatives?
No, it's more complicated than that.
Chloe works as fast as she can at her screen. Janice, out in the main office, looks darkly over towards the side room and keys in an override code on her screen. A red message reading "Systems access restricted" flashes up. She grimaces in angry frustration and tries again. The message "Override failed" flashes up. She bites her knuckle. 4:39. 4:43. In a plush club.
Arthur, you're not going to find another firm that's done more high-level consulting work for a relatively small pharmaceutical company like yours. Remember, my firm helped the governor craft a plan to swap property taxes for sales taxes in his last budget reform. Tell me that didn't save Dexter Carr a bundle.
Oh, it did, Olivia. But since I'm specifically looking to hire you, I need to know what you yourself can do.
Whenever you need. You know my accomplishments, you've seen my resume.
I mean White House influence. Considering your family.
We're not lobbyists, Arthur. It states that clearly in the contract.
I just thought, since you have the president's ear.
I don't. Is that going to be a problem?
Excuse me, Miss Taylor.
Do I know you?
My name is Aaron Pierce. Your office told me you'd be here. I've been dispatched at the request of the president.
Your credentials say you've retired, Mr. Pierce. Perhaps no one informed you I refused Secret Service protection months ago.
I'm aware of that, ma'am. This is a special circumstance.
Well, as you can see, I'm a little busy right now. This isn't a good time.
I'm sorry, but I have to insist.
It's all right.
No, it's not all right. What is it that's so important for my mother to steal me away while I'm trying to do business?
I'm not at liberty to say, ma'am, that information is confidential.
Olivia, we can pick this up at a later time.
Arthur,
wait.
We'll be in touch.
Ma'am, please.
I'm not going anywhere with you until you tell me what this is about.
It's your father, Miss Taylor. He's been shot. He's in surgery at West Arlington Hospital. Your mother's there now. None of this is public knowledge.
Thank God.
My car's just outside.
4:46. Aaron ushers away the now melting ice queen.
Excuse me, Sean. Can I please get the digital beta key for the server?
Why?
Larry asked for it. Something to do with the firewall assessment.
Larry wants it. Why doesn't he come to me?
I don't know.
Maybe I ought to go ask him.
Nope. Okay. I think that Larry brought in this woman, Chloe O'Brien, to replace me, and I just want to get a bead on what they're working on. That's all.
That's all? That's enough to lose us both our jobs.
Well, maybe I should stop covering for you.
What are you talking about?
Erica and you and your little sexual indiscretions. I've said nothing to Larry or your wife. I'm sure you'd like me to keep it that way.
Sean absorbs this. Janice stares harshly at him. He agonizes and finally starts turning a combination lock on his desk drawer. He pulls out an electronic key and places it on the desk. Janice hurriedly grabs it and walks away.
You're a little bitch, you know that?
You're a little bitch.
Sean casts a veiled look over towards the side office where Moss stands by the seated Chloe.
Okay, Jack, the link's up. I've got the signal.
Copy that. I'll get back to you. We're on. Marika, we gotta go.
Marika and Rosa share one last desperate hug.
You, FBI, you keep her safe, you hear me?
We will.
Rosa is left sitting alone in the apartment. Her face crumples in grief.
I'm really scared.
You're gonna be fine. Just remember, we're right behind you. Move up here.
Now listen, if you get into trouble, you can signal us by dialing 1-0.
No, I don't want you to do that. Don't do anything that's gonna raise a suspicion of the driver.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
4:48, Marika heads out through the front door of the flats, laden with her luggage. Jack and Renee lurk in an inside doorway, watching her go.
What the hell are you doing?
She was scared. I wanted her to know there was another option than waiting for us to swoop in.
If we're gonna find the Baku, there are no other options, you understand? Come on, you've run operations like this.
Not without full tactical support and at least 2 backup units in the scene. She's naked out there, Jack. I don't like it.
This isn't about you. This is about her and the Baku. Listen, life gets ugly. Innocent people get hurt. That's a reality. At least she got to make a choice to be involved, to do the right thing, which is a lot more than I can say for DeBaco's other victims. We have one job here. That's to get DeBaco. Outside of that, don't get involved. Chloe, the car's here.
Copy that.
She's getting in the car.
Copy.
She's moving. Are you locked in?
Yeah, I've got them heading south on 14th.
You upload the tracking grid to Agent Walker's PDA?
No, I'll have to direct you.
Just keep us close.
Understood. Head towards 14th and make a right.
Copy that.
Jack and Renee jump into a car and head off in pursuit. At FBI HQ, Janice enters the semi-lit main computer room. She inserts the electronic key into one of the mainframes. On the screen below, she taps in her commands and the message, "Access granted," flashes up. She works feverishly at the screen. 4:50, end of part 3. Part 4, 4:54. The black car carrying Marika to the rendezvous glides along a street. She sits in the rear. She casts a look towards the driver.
How much further?
The driver's face remains impassive. Marika appears freaked out and looks in alarm out of her side window.
Continuing west on R Street, crossing Hampshire Avenue.
You're less than a mile behind the target car.
Copy that.
Target car is turning left on Connecticut.
Okay, rounding DuPont Circle. Agent Moss, is there anything in the northern quad of the grid that would indicate where DuBaco could hide a plane or a helicopter?
No, nothing definitive. Could be any number of launch sites.
Janice pulls the key out.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What was that? What happened?
Janice sneaks out of the room as someone else enters.
Jack, we've got a problem.
Chloe, what's wrong?
We just lost the tracking grid.
What?
I don't know. It just glitched out.
We can't afford to lose them, Jack. I gave this woman my word we'd protect her.
I know. Chloe, get it back up.
We're doing our best here, Jack.
Wait. It's back up.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. I'm running a diagnostic right now.
Jack, they're moving southeast on Massachusetts Avenue. You've closed the gap to about a half a mile. You may want to back off a little bit.
Okay, copy that.
Oh, no.
What?
Somebody was in the system.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm saying someone in this office was mirroring my terminal. Whoever it was knows exactly what we were doing.
Larry stares out through the glass wall to where Sean sits working at his screen, as do numerous other agents.
Can you backtrace the breach?
No. The link was severed. It could have come from anywhere.
Larry spots Janice. Jack drives at speed.
Jack, you getting this? Looks like we might have a security breach. Someone is mirroring our comm.
Jack, they're coming from all sides.
Larry, we got a situation here.
What's going on?
I got Metro PD trying to build a roadblock around us. What? Why would they be doing that? I don't know. Just get them off us.
Jack tries to take evasive action as half a dozen police cars swerve around his vehicle, finally succeeding in hemming him in.
Larry, do something!
is Agent Moss. Connect me with Metro District Command.
Hands in the air! Hands in the air!
My name is Jack
Bauer. Get out of the car! Get out of the car right now!
The passenger is a federal
get
agent.
Get out of the car right now! Right now! On the ground!
She's
on
a
ground.
Federal
on
agent!
The ground.
Get out!
Now!
There are pistols!
Put your hands behind your back, sir.
Come on, Larry. Do something!
Captain, you got to release these people immediately.
But
no.
We have a federal
warrant. No, that is a mistake. No federal warrants have been issued for them.
Yes, they have. A warrant was called in for the vehicle. Occupants armed and dangerous to be apprehended with decisive force.
Issued by who?
FBI, this office. There's no attribution, but the routing code's real. This was definitely done by someone here. Marika's car just turned east onto N Street.
Captain, listen carefully. I'm the special agent in charge of this operation, and I'm revoking these warrants immediately.
Sir.
No. No, I don't have time to deal with your chain of command. You need to release these people right now.
4:58. Janice sidles up to Sean's desk.
Hey, thank you.
So is O'Brien here to replace you?
I don't know. No. Larry's using her for some kind of covert operation with Jack Bauer. They're tracking a car to Dubaki.
Why would he keep us in the dark about something like that?
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't like it.
Sean takes this in, glancing with hooded eyes as Janice walks away. He dials out on his mobile phone.
Yes. Hey, I took care of Bauer and Walker. They're pinned down.
Why am I being brought in on this so last minute?
Moss is running this op on his own. It took me some time to tap into his phone line. He's on with Metro right now.
Can you at least disable the tracking signal they're using to follow the girl?
No, not from my console, but judging by the frequency, they're using her cell as the tracker.
All right. Good work.
You told me that once Dubaku served his purpose, you'd take him out. Why are we still helping him?
He's threatening to expose us using a database he's kept with names and accounts of everyone involved.
Including mine?
I mean everyone. We don't know where the file is, so you just better pray that he gets away.
Sean hangs up from speaking to Burnett. His face contorts in rage and panic. The surgeons continue to work on Henry Taylor.
Yes, it has to do with the terrorist threats that happened this morning.
Jack and Renee remain pinned down by the police. President Taylor's daughter is driven to the hospital. Dubaku stands at the back of a building with another African man. He takes the call.
Hello?
You got a problem.
What is it?
Your girlfriend's been turned by the FBI.
I don't believe you.
They met with her a half hour ago, told her who you really are.
That's impossible. Marika would never do this.
I got it from my source inside the bureau. It is definite. She agreed to lead them to you, using her cell phone as a tracker. Look, my source managed to stall their surveillance team for a while, but you need to get to the airfield immediately. I'll call my driver. Have him take care of her.
No, I'll do it.
Colonel, I told you, they are tracking her. If you let her come to you, you're risking your chances of escape.
I said I'll take care of her.
Dubaku closes his phone, a grim look on his face. 5 p.m., the end.